kick ass. Want to make your life better? This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Well, top of the morning to you, and welcome to the 600-second Kick-Ass Life Show, designed to put a little smile on your face, a little spring into your step, and allow me to give you a little boot right in the bottom. That's right, in your rump. Give me a little foot in arse, as I like to call it, or a little kick in the arse, really. You know, we always start with a few fun facts. Do you realise the human body provides alcohol naturally, 24/7, continuous basis, 7 days a week? Always producing it. You teetotalers are in for a little surprise. The world's oldest recipe is actually for beer. And in the original version of Little Red Riding Hood, the girl and the wolf ate grandma. What kind of story is that? Have you realised that? Have you watched Disney movies? How the villains are always so nasty. Ugh. Staying up all night can actually help you burn 161 calories. So, oh my goodness, I must have burnt a few in the last few weeks. 50,000 people in Japan are over 100 years of old. Old? On 100 years of old. And the oldest one being 116. And you realise this, people who suffer with depression or down in the dumps a lot or a little moody and angry all the time, you're going to get colds a lot more than those people who are not. So, listen, if you don't want to catch a cold, cheer up a little bit. Go out and help someone. Oh, dear. I'm feeling really, really crazy this morning. I woke up in my new place, and I'll actually post a photograph of the view. I took it right from the bed outside into the lake, and the sun, it was all pink. It was just a gorgeous view. I can't believe how blessed and lucky I am. I don't know, you know, this little high school dropout sitting in this paradise and just waking up there with a woman he loves. I just feel very lucky. Now, Jen sends her apologies. She was meant to be on the show, and then she was helping a woman this morning, and then she had a hair appointment. She was going to cancel. I said, don't worry, you can come on next week. So she was meant to be here, and so we'll send our love to Jen and wish her well. So Michelle has the first question. Michelle Edis from Australia. Hello, Michelle. You're becoming quite a regular. She says, do you need to actually travel to work out where else you want to travel to? No, I don't think so. I think that the challenge that most people have is they'll use travel or money or time as an excuse not to travel, yet they've not really discovered their own city, their own town, their own village. You know, I always say this with dog walkers. You know, I often see the same person walking their dog down the same road every single day. I just think, how bored must that dog be to know all those smells? Imagine if every single time you leave your house, you drive a different way, you go and get lost. I still discover, I live in a town of 150,000 people, I still discover roads. I've never been up, and I just wander down them. I love being lost. But yeah, so I think traveling is a muscle you build. And I think, yeah, getting out of your, you know, getting, if you don't have a lot of money, just getting out into areas of your own town and get lost. And so it's like traveling, going to new restaurants, trying new foods. You can do it. You can have a kind of a global experience without even leaving your house. But then I'd say, you know, be careful. I mean, a lot of people, they'll do cruises every year because it feels safe. It's kind of affordable. You know, it's very, very easy to get into a routine and think that's traveling when we get off a big boat. You know, we run. And I've done a couple of cruises, and it was awesome for me and my son. But sometimes it's just, again, a routine. Every time you get stuck in a routine, often you don't actually get into the culture of a place and really, really see what's going on. I always say it's good to have a walkabout. You know, go walkabout, get lost, go meet some locals, go and hang out, and always go to places where there's, you know, lots of locals eating, if that's what, anywhere where it's busy. If you're in a new town, new city, if you're in Mexico, if you see a lot of locals eating there, go in there, go meet people and watch what happens. So I don't think you do there, Michelle. She said, how do you discover or decide who's going to be on the show? I leave that a little bit up to the universe. I think people show up at the right times. I don't really have a big plan, as usual with me. I don't plan much. But like Michelle, you know, when you were on the show, I didn't plan that we were going to use that when we did. It just happened to be around the birthday. I thought it was a great fit, so I threw it in there. I think sometimes I get the urge to say, well, I probably need to have a bigger name on for some of you. Do you want to, you know, hear from somebody who's kind of more famous? Sometimes I feel that rush, but often I don't. Often I feel that, you know, our guests, even if you have not heard about them, like Krista Sharm, you know, who, you know, visited the prison.
prison to forgive the murderer of his mom, that kind of stuff. I find it fascinating. So, yeah, no real plan there. I just let the who shows up, and I trust. I really trust. I think trust is a big thing for a kick-ass life practitioner. I trust everything. I trust me. I trust the universe. I trust, you know, I trust my doors are always open, you know. I just not going to get caught up with distrusting. It's so much energy to worry about shit all the time, right? All right, Ingrid Francis. What tools, methods do you use or recommend to stay in your zone? The kick-ass zone. That's what we should call it. The kick-ass zone. Especially with negative or the influence from others around you, like family, spouses, child having a bad day. And she says, from a mom striving for in-house harmony. Well, you know, Ingrid, I can lose it. I can't say I'm always in the zone, especially when it comes to kids. You know, people you love, they're the hardest ones. I find that there's very few people in the world that can upset me. But, you know, Jen and the boys, they can. They can push my buttons. But I think that, you know, it's a practice. I think practice with the small things. Practice with the things that, you know, that aren't big. And practice letting go of them. Jen just said something as she was leaving to go to the hair salon. She said, I can't believe this guy left the place as such a pigsty. Because we bought a house and the guy didn't clean it very well. And it's, you know, it's pretty messy. And I said, what are you thinking about? Why are you thinking about that? Just let it go. It's not even worth the thinking, because that thinking is going to make you feel crappy about it. We're in, you know, we can clean it. It doesn't matter. There's no energy about it. Let it go. And I think sometimes we can practice with the small things that normally when we find ourselves kind of being pulled off the rails, practice with small stuff like that, where you just let go. It doesn't matter. That's a great thing to say. It doesn't matter. I mean, that the great book, right? Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. But I think family, spouses, you know, how do you stay in the zone? Well, sometimes you don't. I think sometimes it's not about staying in the zone. Sometimes it's about, you know, there's a great saying, you teach people how to treat you. So if you're in an environment where you're getting treated like crap or you're constantly being put down, I mean, that's something you got to do something about. It's not about staying in the zone. It's about recreating the zone so that, you know, you teach people that you won't tolerate certain things. I don't think that's what you mean in this, but I think some people need to hear that, Ingrid. But I think that, yeah. And sometimes, you know, it's a question of getting out. I know you can't, you said that, you can't always leave the house. You can, but you can't move into another room. You can't just take a breath. Sometimes do it through music. You know, if you're feeling crappy, crank up the tunes, you know, put on Gangnam Style and get the whole family dancing. Because physiology, the best way to change your state is to change your physiology. So go do something, dance, run, scream, jump up and down, do something, but move out of the energy and then you can change your state. But, you know, changing your mental state without changing your physiology is the hardest thing to do. So change your physiology. I'd say crank up the tunes, block out all the noise, and dance. And people will think you're nuts, and some of them will dance with you. All right, hope that helps. And then the good life philosophy. Yeah, this is the person's name. Biggest failure to date. How did you respond? What lesson did you learn? Oh my gosh, I have so many. I don't actually look at things anymore as failures. I used to, but I don't actually think of things as failures. You know, I honestly don't. I mean, because everything that every shitty thing that ever happened to me that was major has always been there in the end, because it's hard to see at the beginning when it happens, especially if it's embarrassing, which I've had a lot of those happen, where you've done something which was just embarrassing, or you made a mistake and it affected other people and you feel like crap about it. But I actually don't think about that stuff anymore. I think of that immediate forgiveness. I mean, I have to forgive myself. I try a lot of things, and so a lot of things don't work. And so because they don't work, I have to be able to be willing to forgive myself and move on fast, quickly, right? But I suppose a big one was the wedding. You know, when you're emceeing a wedding and you blow it and the whole groom side of the family leaves. I mean, I was just horrified, mortified. For years, it stopped me in my life. I mean, that's what big mistakes often do. It slows us down, or it stops us altogether, or we retreat into a hole. And I didn't know at the time that would be what would be a catalyst to why I do what I do, and it would be a catalyst. It would be one of the great stories that give me permission to sit in front of anyone who suffers from humiliation of any kind, who has any kind of fear of public speaking, because I train a lot of trainers. He gives me a lot of permission because I've been through like the darkest dark, you know, where I was just consumed for years and I kept wanting to relive the wedding and do it right. You know, I mean, when you have people coming up to you and saying that's the most disgusting thing I've ever seen and walking out of the wedding, I mean, mean, it is humiliating in the worst possible way. So I learned a lot from that years later, and it's given me a lot of permission. And I think sometimes when we make mistakes, you know, I think that, you know, if we could reframe the whole idea of, you know, what failure, you know, because how can it be a failure? There's that great saying, right? Every master was once a disaster. I now know whenever I start anything, I'm going to be crappy at it in the beginning, like I was at the show, really. I mean, it was much harder for me to fiddle all those knobs. I'm just sitting here right now in a deck chair overlooking a lake with my phone. I'm recording right into my phone. I couldn't have done that in the beginning because I didn't think it was possible, right? So, no failures. But, I mean, I think there's always going to be a lesson. Sometimes it will take years and years and years to discover the lesson. I don't think it's going to be apparent right away. And sometimes you may never think you'll never learn the lesson if you don't keep moving forward. A lot of people, what they do is they get, you know, they just retreat, and they'll never come out and find what the lesson is. But if you keep moving forward, one day the lesson will show you, go, oh, my goodness, you know what? And I remember the first time on stage when I told the story of the wedding and I was learning to be a trainer, I had a standing ovation and I was in tears because, I mean, the pain was still very, very ripe inside of me. And people, I mean, standing ovation, and there was like 2,000 people standing up. And here I am, a brand new trainer trying to learn this skill, you know. And that's when that moment where I thought, oh, my gosh, you know, this is here to serve me. That pain that I've been carrying all those years was there to serve me. All right, better get on. So this one, they've asked to stay anonymous, but I will just say a lady from Ontario who spends a lot of time in her car, she says, wishing I could do more and how to recognize my inner greatness. I'm sorry, Jen's writing was really scruffy there. I can't read it. But she, I get her point here. She's, you know, but living wishing that you could do more and how to recognize your inner greatness, she said that you know is actually in there. And how to move forward in your life, knowing that your actions may hurt the ones you love. I think that the thing is the fact that you're even willing to accept that there's inner greatness in there already tells me that you've already crossed the line. A lot of people don't even know it's there. But what it is, it's the old mind and the new desires, they're fighting inside of you. So the old mind is reminding you that you don't, you know, that you're still looking for it. But the new mind is saying, hey, we know it's there. It's already there. We know it's inside of me. I know my greatness is there. But the old behaviors where you beat the crap out of yourself, and I bet you a pound or a pinch of anything, you're hard on yourself, and a lot of you are. And I can tell by the comment, and I wish I could read every word clearly, and I'm sorry I can't, but I get the sentiment of what you're saying. So you're hard on yourself, right? And it's almost like you, even if you were doing the greatest things on earth right in this moment, you know, your mind would find a way of discounting it. It's not fast enough. It's not good enough. It's not big enough. It's not, you know, it's not as good as the other person. It's not as smooth as the other person. So you'll find a way to discount it, right? So the big thing is to start celebrating the small stuff and realizing and be kind to yourself. Treat yourself as you would treat a small baby or what, a small child. You're going to be encouraging. You're going to be like, way to go. Hey, great job. Awesome. You're awesome. You got to start having that conversation and you got to start believing it's there. So start talking to it. Say, well, since I've discovered my greatness, you know, I don't have to say that out loud in a restaurant. Someone's going to think you're a real weirdo, but you know, you can say it to yourself. You say it to other friends, you know, since I've discovered that better part of me, since I've had this new awakening and I've started to really, really appreciate myself more, those kinds of things where you can catch yourself in conversation and see how you talk yourself out of it. And that's the old mind. Your old mind, where you've lived a whole lifetime of you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're not fast enough, you're not thin enough, right? You're not as good as other people, you're not wealthy enough, all that kind of shit that goes on in people's head. You got to catch that, nip it in the bud, right? And then you've got to keep moving forward. Now, the other part of that is this question, how do you move forward in life knowing your actions may hurt those you love? Well, you know, let's be honest. If your actions are going to hurt those you love and you're really truthful to those you love and you're going to start moving forward, you're going to find out real quick what love really is. What is love? If you can't take actions in your life that are going to move you forward, expand and grow, there's a number of things going on in those love relationships. One is that you may be have conditioned by those people around you to play small. And they don't want you to grow big. They don't want you to expand. They don't want that. That's possible. Or you have convinced yourself to play small. You've taught them how to treat you as a small person. So you've given them permission to treat you like crap, keep you small. So now you're afraid to speak up, afraid to step up, afraid to step out. So you don't, right? And now you're using them as the excuse. Oh, I can't move forward because I'm going to hurt someone. That's BS. Right? You know it's BS. I know it's BS, all right? Move forward and see. Maybe you're going to be the inspiration that changes their life. Maybe, just maybe, you'll be the one that will, because you have the courage to step out, because you have the courage to seize there, because you have the courage to live in your greatness, right, they're going to wake up themselves and they'll step into their own. But don't use them as an excuse. Don't use them as an excuse, all right? And then don't be surprised if when you step out, all hell breaks loose because they don't want you to be big, right? They don't want you to play a big game. They like you small because guess what? You look after them. You do their stuff for them. You know, they get what they want by you playing small. As soon as you start saying, well, no, I want my own terms, my own time. And this is especially true of women, right? So you, and then all hell breaks loose. So you know, you've got spouses or you've got kids who are like, what are you doing? You can't do that. I want you to be back here cooking me food and doing my stuff for me. You can't go grow that grown up. That's BS, right? So you got to find one of two things. You're either going to inspire them to step into greatness. You're going to help wake them up, all right? Or you're going to get a lot of resistance, in which case you know exactly what's happening. You've taught them to treat you. You've played small. You've allowed them to treat you small. You're still being treated small, and you got to step out. It's going to be ugly in the beginning, but guess what? Some of them will come with you and some of them won't, but don't be afraid of that. Well, that's it. That's Ask Dave number 6. We're done. If you want to ask me any questions at all, I'll talk about anything. You can ask me about sex. You can ask me about love. You can ask me about kids. You can ask me about life. You can ask me about any adventure, travel, business, money, you name it. I probably got an opinion on it. I'm not saying I'm right, by the way. And if I say something and you try it, it doesn't work, stop doing it. If I say something and you do it and it works, keep doing it. All right? But it's up to you. Sending my love. I'll see you all on the other side.
That was kick-ass.